Good morning, Grace Spanish. It's a pleasure to see you all here this morning. Please stand up. We're going to read the scripture for this morning, which is in Acts 20. We're going to read the verses 17 to the ending of the chapter. Verse 17 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come with him. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what would happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I covet no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in the ways we must help the weak and remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Let us pray. Lord, thank you this morning for the word that we have read. Thank you because it is your truth. Thank you that we could receive this morning from you, your own self, your truth. And I know you want us to learn as believers. And we ask that the Holy Spirit that helped write these words, that directed all these words, that we could now direct our hearts and teach us what is missing. Help us live for you. Help us give our lives to you this morning. Speak to us and teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may sit down. This morning, the topic is the advice of a spiritual father. What kind of advice was given by your parents? Maybe some of y'all, your parents are still give them if your parents are alive. And I was trying to remember the advices that my mom had given me. I don't have my mom or dad here anymore, but one of the phrases that I remember from my mom was, "I am not going to die until you..." whatever thing, for her, it was anything. You know, I'm not going to die until, you know, I see you again on the ministry. You know, I won't die until, you know, you fill in the blank. So I told myself, you know, I'm going to do a quick exercise and ask my son, my older son. I sent him a message today, and I asked and told him, hey, you know, tell me, what's the best advice that I've given you? And I was waiting for something big, you know, and I didn't receive that. He told me, well, you know, it was the advice, you know, of, you know, going to a church when I would start, you know, the university. And, well, I mean, you know, it was good that he told me that, you know, but, you know, do you remember that I wrote you letters? And he was like, yeah. But I was, you know, simply thinking of, you know, what's coming in mind when he started college. I wrote him a series of notes, I think 18 cards, letters, you know, give him advice over, you know, the Christian life. And one of the topics were the virtues, you know, the myth of being independent, the path to wisdom, the path to love, the path to the truth, the path to the mercy, the justice and humility, and the love of a father towards his son. So he has at least all these letters so he could read when I'm not with them anymore. And so I remember that I wrote these letters, some letters giving him advices, the best advices that I could ever think of. But that's the idea. It was that something that I considered important for his life, for his marriage, and his college life. So in this chapter we have just read, Paul gives the spiritual leaders advice to the church of Ephesus. Remember that Paul was on that, founded this church, and these were his spiritual children and were the spiritual leaders. And as a spiritual father, he gives them these advices as a father, the best advices. And Paul has got to the point, has got to the city, and it's probably that he got more passengers. And since he didn't have sufficient time, he arrived to that place and spoke to the elders, and which took him approximately 30 miles to get there. And Paul said in this process, when he gets there, he goes to the side and first talks to them in regards to his life, how he has lived his life and how it's been practical and how he has used it in his life and how they should do it too. And at the end, he gives some imperatives, things that they should do. And so let us see first his life advices. Let's read verse 17 and on 27, I think. Paul was talking to who? To the elders of the church. And let's see this word, ancient, the elders, which are the leaders, the bishops. The word, the Bible uses so many words to describe bishops. So bishops, they were these elders. Another word that is used, that we see it in verse 28. Be careful, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Another word, the word that is only used once as preachers, as pastors, as shepherds who are guiding the church. It says, to these people, to these elders, to these spiritual leaders, I gave them a certain advice, which are directed to them. What Paul tells them applies to us as well, to our lives. So, you know, before you think, you know, these advices are just for the spiritual leaders, you know, I want you to know that this advice that he gives them are good for all, for every one of us as well. So let's see what Paul says. First, let's read verse 17. And he speaks in regards to his life. And verse 18 says, you yourselves know how I have... It says, you yourselves know. They knew as well, since they were with Paul. So what would he talk about his past life? First, that they knew his constant service and humble service and what he has suffered. See how he says that he's been with them through the whole time. And he said not only did he do it one time, but it's something that he had. It was constant. He was meager. He was something that we need, that constance as a believer. A leader must be constant. And number two, he says, the service was who? To the Lord. Certainly, it was good for him, but he said he was serving the Lord, and he had a good demeanor. And despite all the challenges, Paul had also suffered. He reminds him of the constant service, humbleness, and sufferings. And it wasn't something easy that he did. And there was Jews that had constantly tried to harm him. Nevertheless, Paul had always been constant and working and giving it all. And number two, let's see verse 20. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public from house to house, testifying. So there's a complete teaching that Paul had given, and which means he also did it with courage. Verse 27 says that he taught him house to house. Because he would teach everything and guide them through a period of 3 years to a complete teaching of the Lord. You know, that is something that's lacking today. How many leaders today do not teach the whole concept of the Word of God? They lose their time and trivial things, only teaching the positive, or only what the people want to hear, or only whatever is politically correct. So this morning I was reading over one of these pastors, very, very important, very big in this nation. And one of the things that he wrote was that he never spoke over what the Bible taught about sin. He didn't speak over the popular topics or problematic themes. I just want you to know that there's a lack of people who want to preach the whole complete truth of God. And only the Word of God will provide a firm way for you to grow in God. And nothing else, there's nothing else like the Word of God. And I remember one of the advices that one of my co-workers gave me. And he's like, one of the ones is to have, I asked him to give me an advice how to have leaders that are growing. But I noticed that, messages were usually very motivating or biblical, but the biblical teachings were not there. And I remember telling him that he needed to bring somebody that taught the Word of God so that the church would be able to grow and develop new leaders. But he didn't accept my advice, and the church will not grow if this the complete biblical teachings would not be there. And Paul tells him, I have taught you the whole teachings, the complete teachings, and he did it with so much courage. He did it publicly, and he did it house by house. And third point is that he was impartial. He preached to everybody, testified to everybody, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. And he said, what did he preach to you? Over repentance for God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached what things? What did he testify? The gospel. This was his focus, Paul's focus. The focus of Paul was not go to these cities and make a humanitarian works. You know, Paul's focus was not there to improve their lives. Paul's focus was not creating a pass from Gentile to, or Jews to Gentiles. So his priority was to share the gospel. It says his repentance for God and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible calls gospel. We must repent of our sins, is what the Bible says, so we can have peace with God. We must see that God died for our sins, and he wants to save us from our sins, and we must be repentant. And that is the message that is being preached today. If you are here today and you do not know Christ, repent of your sins. Stop living a life your way. Come to Christ and repent yourself and give yourself to Jesus, that he will give you the eternal life. And this is what Paul says. He taught everybody impartially. He taught the gospel impartially. And if you're a leader, and I think God is making leaders here, some younger than others, but we see that desire to serve the Lord. And it's what you must do. You must be the example. You must serve constantly, humble, sharing the gospel to everybody, regardless of the language, of their origin. And you must teach the complete word of God. Obviously, you must learn this as well. And Paul not only focused on his past, but he spoke on his future. Verse 19 to 21. Verse 22, I mean. And now, from among you, your own selves will arise men. No. Verse 22. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what would happen to me there. So, verse 22, 23 says, so he's saying that he, what awaits him, tribulations and imprisonment. Paul had not told them, you know, had spoke them, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to fulfill my Jewish goal, you know. He did not say that. He knew he had to confront imprisonment, tribulations, and knew that the Holy Spirit told him, you know, these problems, you know, the suffering is going to come. And he didn't know exactly what it was, but he knew that God was guiding him through that path. I mean, interesting, you know, us that God, you know, we ask God to guide us to the good things, and then he's here, you know, we tell him, you know, guide us to wherever you want. And, you know, Paul's like, no, the Holy Spirit is guiding me to, you know, this place where there's imprisonment and suffering. You know, I don't know what it's actually going to be, but, you know, it's something hard. And Paul knew that he could not wait less than what the Lord has suffered for him. How is it that we could wait less if our Lord also suffered and he gave it all for us? We must be ready to follow his footsteps. Hebrews 12:12 says Christ suffered. It says Christ suffered in the cross for us. 1 Peter 2:20, 21. So, verse 21 is being read. For what credit is it if, when your sins are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer to it, you endure. This is a gracious thing of the sight of God. Paul understood this and knew that the suffering was going to get him closer to the Lord. And Paul said, with the end of knowing you, That's what Paul said he wanted. Being verse 24. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:10. Preacher is reading. I think Corinthians. So Paul's saying, I also have to suffer so that I could. Paul understood that only suffering would be able to get him closer to God. And that's why Paul was waiting for everything in that moment when he was going to go to Jerusalem and had to suffer. So that's what we saw in his future. And number two, let's read verse 24. Paul had a compromise determined to the calling of Christ. And we can see it in many ways. Verse 24 is one of my favorites. And when I mean favorites, it's not because it makes me, gives me a certain feeling, but or because I fulfilled it, but it's because to see a man with a determined goal to fulfill the word of God, let's look at this compromise that he is. But I do not account my life of any value. His focus, his absolute focus, without distractions. Nothing distracted him from his calling. Not even the challenges or the struggles. He was focused, absolutely focused, without any distractions. When my son would go running, I would tell him, focus. Focus what's ahead of you. Stand up, see your shadow, and see what's in front of you. And that's the same thing for the spiritual life. If you're paying attention to all the distractions, you're not gonna fulfill your calling. You're gonna fall behind. How many believers are stuck, are spiritually stuck, because they place so much attention to everything and they're so distracted? Maybe you're distracted right now this morning. Paul says we must have complete focus. And number two, for Paul, there wasn't a way to calculate the value of his life with what would happen to him. In other words, Paul did not have a pros or cons list. This is what could happen if I go follow Christ, and this was could happen, you know, the good or the bad. So Paul wasn't thinking of what benefited him. He wasn't calculating the value of his life. Philippians 3. So certainly, pastor is reading Philippians 3:12, I think. It's incredible. He did not calculate what his life was worth for what was going to happen to his future. So what a different perspective do we have? We calculate everything. And before serving the Lord, we always have to calculate everything. To serve the Lord, we must calculate everything. And the American concept is always thinking on the benefits that are going to come to your life before anything else. So how would you, you know, your commodities, your happiness, your desires, your whatever benefits you, your family, everything comes first before serving or fulfilling the calling of God. But no, I do not esteem my life for my own self. He understood what Christ said in Luke 9:24, that whoever wants to save their life will lose their life, and whoever loses their life for my cause will be saved. So if you live your own life for yourself, you're lose it. One of the things that brought me back to the ministry was a question that I would constantly ask myself. You know, who do you want to dedicate your life to? And I would ask myself that all the time. You know, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do that will have eternal value? And obviously, this brought me to saying, you know, I want to serve you, Lord. Because there's no other better path or who I could give myself to. So Paul says, you know, I don't care about all the things, you know. He did not calculate what was going to happen to him. But he said, as long as I finish my everything with joy. He wanted to finish this race with joy. And it appears ironic due to all the sufferings that he had to go through, he passed through, and will pass through. He was very determined to finish his spiritual career. And we could see it, we could read Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to you to make my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting that what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the overcall on God, of God in Christ Jesus. Another passage says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So when I run a marathon, I would like to tell you that before finishing it or after finishing it, I finish with so much joy. And in reality, it takes a lot of us to even finish a marathon. It takes a lot from us to even run. And so I finished frustrated with no joy. And I've also finished very tired. And there are people who run marathons and appear, they're like, wow, they're super happy and finish the 26.3 miles, very happy and filled with joy. And the spiritual career that Paul says we must finish it with joy. Sometimes many of us are going to feel sad, brokenhearted, and we understand that. I've experienced it. Sometimes I don't have that joy. Sometimes I feel down. But Paul says that he wants to finish his race with joy. So wow, what a difference! You know, knowing that he's gonna suffer, he is still gonna finish with joy. And not only the race, but the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his ministry? To give testimony of the gospel and grace of God. Paul says he wants to finish his career and also fulfill the ministry that God has given him. That Christ has given him, which is a ministry, spread the gospel to all those who have not known of him. Those who are Gentiles, who have never heard of the gospel, he wants to send this message to them. Paul had this, seeing the future, seeing what was ahead of him. And he was focused on what God has given him. It's my phone. It had to be on. Or was it yours? I don't know. So Paul had this focus If God has called you to serve Him in a specific place, perfect. You must think that He must fulfill your ministry. And probably this applies to all of us this morning. God has called you to spread the gospel to all those who have not believed in Christ. And that's the verse says applies to your life this morning. God wants you to live your life to fulfill the calling that God has given you. And if God has called you to do a specific thing, then go for it. And if God has called you to be here and has a plan for you, then be it. The question for you is, how is it that your compromise is shown to fulfill this calling? How is it shown? How is your commitment shown? Paul says, let's see, verse 26-27, that he has done it with a clean conscience. And now, behold, I know that none of you among you whom I have gotten about proclaiming the king will see my face again. So he says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. He says that he is innocent of all blood. He felt he has fulfilled his calling to share the gospel to the Gentiles and those unbelievers, that they believe in Christ, repent. And he says he's clean of all blood because he has done what God has called him to do, and he has a clean conscience. And he has done it with all sincerity in a transparent way before him. So the question for us is, how do you want to finish your spiritual career? Do you want to finish it with a clean conscience, transparent, and knowing that you've done everything God has called you to do? Paul gives him the advices of his previous and future life, and now he tells these leaders of the church, he tells them of the things that he must do. Verse 28, he first says, you know, be careful. So they have to be careful. He says, what? Pay careful attention to yourselves and to yourselves. And Paul says in Timothy to keep close watch of yourself and the teachings. Persist in this, for by doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. And Paul says you must take care of your spiritual listeners. One of my favorite authors said this. You know who gives me more problems? You know who I pray for more in my pastoral job? For myself. And that is so true in my life. The person who we must pray for the most is our own lives. And he says that you should care and pray for the flock that God has given you, that has placed for you to take care of. And let's see that, you know, the Holy Spirit is what... Many of you have your story on how you got here in Great Spanish. Do you know yours? The Holy Spirit brought us here. For what? So that us who are leaders could teach y'all. It says this. Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flocks in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So this is a hard job, especially when some of the flocks do not let themselves be taught. And the truth, the flocks are guided by the shepherd, I mean, you know. But the truth is, if God placed you there, so you could be guided, it's not for you to be there by yourself. You know, it's not that I'm going to go this way, you go that way, over there. You know, the sheep, the flocks, are not... they need a shepherd. And it's our duty to, although sometimes so it's not my church. You know, you're not mine, you're not part of me. You belong to the Lord. And it says here, the scriptures, you know, verse 28, of which he obtained with his own blood. And I have to do his job because you're very valuable to us. He paid for, he paid by his sin, by his blood. And those who want to, you have to take care of yourselves by the wolves. Verse 29. This, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you and want to devour you. Those are the false prophets that Christ talks about in Timothy 4, 16. Keep close, watch on yourselves. And those who want to finish with you and want to devour you. So you must. Verse 30 says they need to take care of yourselves and from false teachers. So you must, you know, watch out for the wolves. They're out. They are there to destroy you. But also within the church, there are going to be false teachers who are going to come up and who are going to speak perverse things that will draw away the disciples after them. And so just because it hasn't happened in this church doesn't mean it won't happen. We always must take care of each other. And if you're, if you have a diet of certain people, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be here in church. It could be somewhere out in your house. You know. You know, we're going to examine everything you're listening to, believing, to seeing. It's something. Is it something going to edify you or going to destroy you? So many of us say, you know, I know what I'm doing, you know. That's why, you know, God put us here to be able to take care of each other. And if I tell you something, it's because I want to care for you. So Paul says, you know, be alert. Because those wolves will come, you know, they want to destroy the church, and those false teachers as well are, can also rise up and go against the church. And this happened in the church of Ephesus. We don't have much time to read over this, but this is exactly what happened. Verse 31 says, therefore be alert, remembering, there's no time to be sleeping if you're a leader. Paul says to be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. He was alert of the spiritual life, the church, and its attacks against them. Verse 32 to 35 says, commend yourselves. I had told you all these things, and I commend you to God. Verse 32 says, commend you to God, and now I commend you to God. God will bring you security, and says, commend yourselves to the word of his grace. To the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So y'all could obtain that inheritance that every one of us have received through Jesus Christ. Paul finishes with his good example. He says, Paul says that he has not coveted anything from. He says that some people want to be merchants in church. And Paul says that the real spiritual leader does not covet, does not want to become rich from his flock. Number two says he was very honest in his work. Verse 34 says that he served with those hands, and Paul actually refused any money from the church, and he chose to rather work with his old hands so that nobody would accuse him of wanting something from the church. And Paul says in Corinthians 9:12, it says that Paul decided not to take any money from the church, and that he worked because he wanted everybody to see that he does not depend on them, and he depends on God. And verse 35 says, not only did he work honestly, but he was also very generous. Not only with his demeanor, but he also taught them that they must be generous. He was very generous because he would also give. And at this time, he even had an offering that he was going to give to the poor. Paul was always thinking of those who were in need. He was very generous. And he finishes commanding us to worship, to prayer. And when he had said these things, and he knelt down and prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all, and they accompanied him to the ship. So if you're a member of our church, we want to help you spiritually. That is what we're here for, to serve you. That commitment, and so you could be a disciple, and that you could fulfill your calling that God has given you. We will help you, and we will correct you with love when it's necessary, and we're going to take care of you from the false sheep, and we're going to guide you and teach you what God has for us. And we are committed to being an example of St. Apostle Paul, always being here in service, never looking for personal gain, to work honestly. We're going to focus in finishing the race and fulfilling the ministry that God has given us. We are the Church of Christ, and let us live as He asks us to live.